Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
So glad to be with you. I've been looking forward to this for quite some time. It's always nice to be somewhere that's as close to home as this is, because that usually means you already know quite a few people, and that is the case, and I'm really thankful to be with you all. I'm especially thankful that even though you know me, you invited me to come and speak anyway. That's kind of unusual, actually. That's sort of strange. But it is terrific to be with you. I'm excited about renewing some friendships and getting to be with some of you for the first time. And I want you to know that, especially since we're so close, this is doubly true over what it normally would be. I am at your disposal this week. This is what I've come to do. I've been engaged to do this. I think of this as something that we're doing together that is a work for the Lord. So I want you to know, I'll be driving home in the evenings and sleeping in my own bed, which is really nice. But at the same time, I'm available for you. If you want to study with other folks, if you want to get together and go visit somebody, if it is that you think that there's something we could do together to encourage someone, we will do that together. And I want you to know that I am at your disposal. So my schedule has been cleared of any other obligations. I'm yours for whatever that means. Maybe I'm sorry for that. I don't know. But anyway, that is what I want to get that clear at the very beginning. So I want to talk during our Bible class, and I want to encourage you to join in to the discussion. This one will be a little different than the others. I will encourage you to make comments or ask questions or participate in whatever way you see fit. I want to talk to you a little bit about growing today. If your calendar has demonstrated anything, you've noticed that time marches on and it doesn't insist that you change. It doesn't insist that you grow. Time advances. You will get older for sure, but you may not grow. Have you ever met anybody who is an advanced fool? Someone who's been a fool a long, long time? You know the old saying, there's no fool like an old fool. Have you ever been around anybody like that? It seemed like they've resisted growth all of their life. They've resisted change. And now they're sort of stuck in an adolescent mindset in their 60s or 70s or 80s. You ever met anybody like that? That's a great shame, because the advantage of time is that we all have an opportunity to become better versions of ourselves as we go along. Now, we are fighting against a youth-oriented culture. We're fighting against the idea that we worship at the altar of youth, and you can tell. Tell me, how are some ways you can tell that our society kind of worships at the altar of youth? This is the part where you talk. What are some indications?
Plastic surgery.
And that field has advanced not only in popularity, but it's reduced in expense in some cases. So you've got some places, that's all they exist to do, is to take stuff out of you or take parts of you out and shove it in other parts, or to put in fake things inside you so that you look like you've been stung by a bee or you've been punched in the face just for the rest of your life. And there are these places that exist to inject botulism in your face so that your nerves won't react to the stimulus. And so someone says, aren't you happy? And you say, I am smiling, am I not? So that's one great indicator, isn't it? That people want to look young well beyond the time that they actually are young. And so there's pulling. There's a thing called the Greek facelift. Are you all familiar with that? When you're taking a family picture, it's the Greek facelift, and where you reach around each other, you know, like you're embracing, but you take advantage of the moment to tuck the person next to you. You grab the back, and it pulls so you don't get the turkey neck. So that's a bonus. Anyway, are there any other indications that you see? Who are the influencers? Who do we look to? Is it old people? Is it the wise people? No.
Most people do movie stars.
What's that?
Most people do movie stars.
Movie stars.
Especially young people.
Musicians. When was your last hit? That's what everybody wants to know. You're the hot thing as long as you're producing hits, as long as you're on the big screen or you're in the charts or whatever. And that is something just oriented toward youthful people. The problem is that we get in this culture and we take too much from our physical experience. We are physically all growing older. And somehow we've bought into the idea that that means we're getting worse. That somehow the earlier versions that we peak somewhere in our 20s, and after that it's all terrible and downhill sort of stuff. Now let me tell you, I think being young is pretty fantastic. I like young people for two reasons. Number one, they're the only reason I know how to use any technology at all. And it's really helpful to have young people around for that reason. But they're also fantastic at keeping you feeling a little bit younger. Yes, you do get the sensation that you're older because you're with them, because you hear things they say, and you once in a while catch a glimpse of yourself in a mirror standing next to one of them. You're like, wow, this is, you know, I got to stop doing that. But at the same time, they give you a little bit of that. There are advantages, of course, to being young. We should not degrade being young, nor should we degrade being old. We should accept that the process that we've all gotten involved in here is one that is natural and it is inevitable. And you must embrace every phase of it as you go along. The Apostle Peter tells us that we need to seek to grow like a baby grows. So as we're thinking about how we are getting older, even then, we say, as a newborn babe, you desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now that means, of course, you have to lay aside the malice, the deceit, the hypocrisy, the envy, and all evil speaking. Because newborn babes don't do that, right? They don't do any of those things. They want to grow. They're desirous of that. And you don't have to stimulate them to do that. You don't have to force that on them. You don't have to make them do it. They desire it. That's something that they want. I think I pushed the wrong button. There you go. Oh, there it is. A little bit later, in the second letter, he says, "You therefore, beloved, since you know this before, and beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked." But instead of that, instead of being led away, instead of degrading, instead of deteriorating, you grow in the knowledge, the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. That's in 2 Peter the 3rd chapter, verses 17 and 18. But in 2 Corinthians 4, we're going to find our main text. I'm going to read a chunk of this. Some of that's on the screen, but we're going to read a little more than what's on the screen. 2 Corinthians the 4th chapter. As the Apostle Paul defends his ministry a little bit, but he's trying to do so that he might encourage the people of Corinth, because they have benefited greatly from him. And their understanding of who he is really important to their ability to benefit from what it is that he says. So as he's talking about the situation as it changes for them and it changes for him, he mentions this in 2 Corinthians 4th chapter, verse 16. "Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house," this tent, "is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. For we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and present with the Lord." Okay, what are the indications that you've seen so far that the outer man's perishing?
I creak in the morning.
I creak in the afternoon. I creak in the evening.
Things hurt that they never hurt before.
Things hurt that never hurt before. Things hurt that you didn't even know you had.
That is true.
Have a harder time getting well.
You just stay sick for longer, don't you? You feel like it's the same thing you had 5 years ago, and you're like, well, I feel like I still have the same thing I got 5 years ago. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Your eyesight and hearing goes.
You noticed that?
What'd she say?
You caught me. You got me. I almost bought that. 5 years ago, I could read these notes. And then overnight one night, I couldn't read anything that wasn't as close to me as Tom is right here. Now, I can see, you know, a particular kind of bird on a mountain a mile and a half away, but up close, I'm not good for much. How handsome Mike is from this distance. Hannah, I'm going to ask you a question. When you get up from a sitting position, what's the noise you make?
It's graceful.
It's graceful. I believe it. I believe it. When I get up from a seated position, there's usually a and some of those creaks and cracks, those noises. You know, the reason that's true is because of what we now are calling the laws of thermodynamics. We're decaying. Our bodies are degrading constantly. And that's what we've discovered. And it is the nature of temporal things. All temporal things break down. It is this exchange of energy. It's all of these things. Our cells are reproducing, but at a deteriorating sort of quality as we go along. And some cells aren't reproducing. We're having some things that just aren't going to get any better. There's a limit to all of that. Well, that's your body. Your body is a vehicle for your spirit. And this is the first step all of us have got to take. It's not, as C.S. Lewis points out, it's not that you are a body who has a spirit. You are a spirit who has a body. That distinction may seem very elementary to you, but as you get older, it becomes more and more important. The significance of what you are, the importance of who you are, is not something you can see. It is something that you get the bits and pieces because you see the indications of character and you see the kinds of things that you are becoming. But it's not the skin and it's not the bones and it's not the cartilage. It's not the organs. Those are all really temporary things. And what we must not do is confuse our outward man with the inner man. When Paul is writing this, he has also been writing to young men, and he's encouraging these young men to live in such a way that they don't bring shame to the Lord. But he also says, don't let anybody despise your youth, when he writes that to Timothy in 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. As an older man, he's recommending that they embrace the process and they put away the stereotypes, that they adopt the things that are good and they eschew the things that are not about whatever stage of life that you're in. So I want you to start thinking with me about the stereotypes of young people and the stereotypes of old people. And be ready to tell me what the difference is. So, how does the inner man get new? The inner man being renewed day by day. How does that happen? The first thing that you'll notice is that it must be intentional. Again, you will age without any effort at all. Just keep existing, it'll happen. Gravity will take its toll. But if you're going to grow, you have to do it on purpose. You have to intentionally do it. You have to engage things to do that. And that's how the inner man grows, by your choice. Again, you can be an old fool. You can be an old reprobate. You have to intentionally be a person of improving character, growing in your nature on the interior. And that's the only thing you have complete control over, but it is something you do have complete control over. Does nurture, the home life that you've lived, does that play any part in your character?
Since you spend so much time there, I would say so.
Sure. It's the most influential people. Until you've been married for 20 years, no one will be more influential than your parents. That's kind of a big deal. Are you bound to that? Must you be whatever your parents made you to be? You may cherish that, and it may be good. You also may kick it to the curb and say it was bad. But you have to make that decision. Everybody catching that? Everybody see what I'm talking about there? All right. So, old people have stereotypes. But not all old people stick with them. You have to decide what it is that you're going to be. So give me, I'm going to ask specifics here. I want some old people, you know who you are, let's not act like you don't know who you are, old people. If no one said young person without sarcasm to you in 10 years, you're an old person. I'll just go ahead and give you the bar. I'm 47, definitely old person. Most definitely, super old person. Okay? So if you're over my age, you're in the group. You don't like it, but again, this is exactly what we're talking about. You need to embrace this, okay? Tell me, older folks, what are some young people stereotypes? Tell me all the things about young people. What are young people?
Know-it-all, lazy, shiftless.
I was just going to ask for one. Well, there's everybody. All right. Anybody have anything to add to that? I mean, wow.
Can't cook.
They can't cook? All right. There you go. What else you got?
Rude.
Rude.
Selfish.
Selfish. Can I just say real quickly, the reason young people, why are young people selfish?
They learned it from older parents.
Well, they did. They learned it from, they did learn it from older people. But they've also learned because we tell them from about birth until about 20 that everything revolves around them. We tell them what their business is to focus on them. Get your education. Get your career started. You. Everything's about them. All the meetings are about them. Everything we get together, the money goes to them. All the things that they need, it takes priority. And I'm not saying those things are wrong, but in that, you've got to think about what you're telling your child as you're raising them through the adolescence to say, you know what? I told my daughter this back when she was in high school, and this is her least favorite dad joke I've ever given. She was going on and on about something one day, and she's just talking about it, and it all was kind of me. It was like she's warming up for an aria. Me, you know? And so I said, you know what I found out this week? I said, I was reading something that scientists, because of the new telescopes and all the radio telescope array, they think they have actually identified what in our expanding universe is the center. Did you know that? And she goes, no. I said, and you know what they found? And she goes, no. I said, it's not you. The buildup was vicious. It was really kind of, it was really actually kind of brutal. It wasn't very nice. So, young people, you know who you are. Actually, that has to be a much lower bar than my age. It's a way below me where young people would start. So, tell me about old people. What are some stereotypes about old people? Look at them, they're all scared to death. They're like, I ain't saying it. Some of them are too close to parents or grandparents to get on the back of the head, you know. Tell me about old people. Stereotypes, not anybody you know, just stereotypes.
Most people would fit, but I've seen bad drive, but slow drivers.
Slow driver. Don't you have anything better to do? And it always is magnified by 10 if it's an old man with a hat on. That's what I've noticed. Okay? What else?
Go to bed at 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. Early to bed. Early to rise.
Wheel of Fortune, Jeopardy, bed.
There you go. Wheel of Fortune, Jeopardy, bed. There you go. That's right. That's right. Those early worms are going to eat themselves. I've never understood why we're looking for early worms, but whatever. Okay. What else?
Bossy.
You talk about people who think they know it all. Old people think they know it all. Good old days. Are you tired of hearing about the good old days? Oh, the good old days. Yeah, okay. Andy Griffith is wonderful. Andy Griffith lied in every episode of that show. Are they typically grumpy? They seem to whine a lot about stuff, don't they? Oh, yeah. Society, young people, their sicknesses, blah, blah, blah. It's just everything. Something's wrong. Politics. Oh, we have to hear politics. Here we go. Old people, right? So, do you have to be a stereotype?
No.
Oh, you gotta handle it anyways.
The outer man is doing what? And what's the inner man supposed to be doing? So that is why I called this lesson what I did. You can grow young. No, you can't make your body young again. You can't make the skin taut any further. You can't take the arthritis away. You can't replace all the cartilage. I mean, there's Things you can do to improve some of those problems, but you can't change that. But the inner man can become refreshed day after day after day, and you don't have to give in to the idea that you must age like an old grump. You don't have to become a curmudgeon. You don't have to be a whiny sort of person who gets self. You don't have to do that. But in order to do that, you must intentionally cause the inner person to be stimulated. That inner person must be caused to grow. The inner man is renewed day by day. He doesn't renew naturally day by day. He is renewed. It is a verb. It's something you must engage. You've got to do that. So while the calendar guarantees you will age, it does not guarantee that you will improve. So while we're talking about stereotypes, let's talk about the one stereotype that's pretty common to old people across the world. Old people resist change. They don't like change. But friends, today, we all, as the people of Christ, have got to acknowledge the word growth demands change. If you're the exact same person you were 20 years ago, that's not growth. That might be, at best, perseverance and steadfastness. But it is not growth. So you must say, how have I changed for the better in the past year? How have I changed for the better in the past 5 years? What's different about me that's an improvement over what I was 10 years ago? Character issues, temperament issues, habits, thoughts, choices, the things you choose to input. What are you reading? What are you watching? What are you doing? One of the biggest problems that we're going to have going forward in our culture is echo chamber driven sort of mentality. So because of social media, and speaking of stereotypes, Facebook, old people. Instagram, the cool kids. And so some of the older people are like, what's this Instagram? I'm like, that's the point. That's exactly what I'm saying. And eventually there'll be something, all you hip people using Instagram, and Snapchat's kind of gone by the wayside, hadn't it? It's not as big a deal as it was. But all you cool kids using Instagram, guess what? There's going to be a new thing, and all you all are going to get called old people by the little people now who aren't using social media yet. And they'll be like, my hologram ID says you have an Instagram account, so you can't talk to me. So all of that stuff is driving us towards something that's really bad for this. You have a chance to surround yourself virtually with a community of your own making. You don't have to hear from or see from or read from anybody that you disagree with. And it's getting to the point that even the people in Hollywood are starting to notice cancel culture has become a thing. That it's not good enough that if you make a movie I don't like, I don't see it. If you make a song I don't like, I don't have to listen to it. If you write a post I don't like, I don't have to read it. It's not good enough. I want you not to be able to do that anymore. And it's all because we're creating these little echo chambers for ourselves where we don't have to hear something we don't like. We don't have to experience something we don't like. We're not allowing ourselves to be provoked. We're not allowing ourselves to have the impetus that brings growth to us. It is that conflict, that inner conflict, where you must fight against the outer man's deterioration in order to get the inner man to get cranking, get working. You need that conflict. You need to be pushed against. You have to have that moment in time where someone makes you question what you believe, what it is you thought, the conclusion you've already come to. And if you come to the same conclusion after examining it all over again, wonderful. You are confirmed and affirmed. Everything is wonderful in your world. But if you never question it, the unexamined life, y'all could probably finish that, can't you? What is the unexamined life?
Not worth living.
It's not worth living. And that's a truth. That is a truth that's been identified by man and put into prose for us to regale each other with and assault each other with for the rest of our lives. But I will tell you this, it is a thought that has its truth in biblical fact. The inner man only is renewed by examination. And so, we kind of have to refuse to get old. Now, you notice that's in quotes. So that's how you say things when you're using them, you know, sort of out of kilter. You know, when I say, my wife says I'm handsome. You know what I mean, right? My wife says I'm handsome. And then you know, when I put those up there, you're like, you know, handsome for a human, I guess. You know, for a lowland gorilla, he's pretty good looking. Anyway, because the truth is, we know this already, you can't stop the calendar from advancing day after day. You can't stop the deterioration of your body. You can't. You can't keep from getting old. You can't stop the hair from turning gray or turning loose. You can't stop the skin from wrinkling. You can't stop the stuff from drooping and sagging. You can't stop the arthritis from, you know, knotting you up and kind of getting you broke down. You can't stop any of that. The inner man should be telling you every day, we got a call from our knees this morning. Our knees said, we're not going to be here much longer. Don't get used to this. You know, I got a call from our heart today. And it was really pumping hard. We're walking up that hill. And it said, hey, we're not going to be here forever. You making other plans? I got a call from my brain the other day. I couldn't remember my kids' names. I called them everything, including the dog's name. My brain says, we're not going to be here forever. Don't get used to this. Start working on the inner person. So when I say don't get old, I mean your inner person needs to be youthful. Remember, see the old lady jumping rope? Yeah, that's a lady who just refused to give in to the tide. The old lady who was jumping hopscotch, she refuses to give in. Those two old men who were playing video games, that was a stage picture. You know those old guys are not playing the video game. You know that, right? So how do you do that? Well, go back in your mind and remember what it was like to be young, really young. Young people ask questions, tons of questions. Now, there is an age at which it stops being cool to ask questions. From the ages of about 11 to 15, the number one concern of people that age is don't embarrass yourself. And so about 85% of their energy is dedicated to don't embarrass yourself. And that means, of course, their parents are people they can't associate with because parents are massively embarrassing. But up to that stage, those people are wildly inquisitive. They want to know what's going on in the world around them. They want to know why things happen. They ask all of these questions. They are filling their little brains, that gray matter between their ears, which is just as smooth as a baby's bottom when they're born. It's just, there's really not much going on. It's being wrinkled up because all the stuff that's going in there is just folding on top of itself and it keeps cramming more stuff in. And so scientists, I've heard, will say that if your brain is really, really wrinkled, like you've been swimming for 3 hours, your brain looks like that, you know, that maybe you've learned a lot. Well, that's what kids are doing. You learn more in the first 3 years of your life. You learn more and faster than in any other three-year period the rest of your life, including graduate school and doctorate studies. They're constantly asking questions. And what's the favorite question of the under five set?
Why?
Yeah, that's right. Why? 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 Did you ever fib to your kids about something just to give an answer? Why is the sky blue? I used to love Calvin and Hobbes. His dad would just make up all kinds of stuff. He'd just make up crazy stuff, you know, just to satisfy Calvin's curiosity. Well, do you ask questions? See, the problem is when we get out of, let's just go ahead and call it college age. Maybe you went to college, maybe you didn't. Maybe you went to trade school. Maybe you took on a career immediately. That period of time is filled with inquisitiveness as well. But I'll tell you what happens. You combine the selfishness of adolescence with the education of college or the career beginning of apprenticeship, and what you end up with is a 25-year-old who is pretty sure that was the end of learning. I got it from here, thanks very much. I know pretty much what there is to know, full stop. And they stop asking questions as much, And then it exacerbates after they have children. I love talking to people who are married, who have not yet had children. I love asking them for advice about how to raise kids. Have you ever done that? What would you do if you're in a situation? Because they have all the answers. You know, it's like teenagers. They know how the world should run. People who are freshmen, sophomore in college, they know how the world should be run. They don't understand why we haven't fixed everything. Why? It's just so easy. It's so, you should be able to do that. Well, before that came all the questions. So what kinds of questions do you ask now? See, that's tough, isn't it?
Why can't the church grow?
Why can't the church grow? Now, that can either be a complaint or a question. Isn't that right?
Yes.
See, that's another thing we got to watch out for. Young people, why do they ask questions? Why does a five-year-old say, why is ABC?
Because they want to know.
Because they actually want to know. Sometimes old people ask a why question because they're doing what? This is your fault. It's blame. It's now we know. I'll tell you why we're not growing. I'll tell you why this isn't. I can tell you why. And it's a question to set up a scenario where you can give the answer. That's not a question, is it? But that's a great question, isn't it? If you're really asking a question from the place of why isn't the church, why doesn't the church grow? Why is it not growing at the rate that we did in the 50s and the 60s? Why here is it not growing like it is 100 miles into the east or the west or whatever? Why is it different? Why? That's a great question. And when you start asking a question, you have to ask them in two different fields. You have to ask about other people and be interested in them. What's going on in the culture around you? What is it that people know or don't know? What is it they are learning? What are they not learning? How is it different than it used to be? And you have to ask questions of yourself. So let me tell you what some of the hardest questions are to ask yourself. If you're 47 to 87, let's just give that range right there. You know some of the hardest questions to ask are, what do I still need to learn? It's depressing. When you're a certain age and you're asking yourself, like, what do I still need to learn? What do I not know? Because you kind of thought at this point, you should know. Because when you were young, you looked at people who are your age now and you thought, well, they have the answers. We've given them the reins of power. They're running the country. They're running the companies. They're running our families. If you are anybody who's under the age of 18, close your eyes and I'll tell you when you can open them again. Just close your eyes. Be honest now and really close your eyes. If you're under the age of 18, everybody else who's a parent, if you've ever not known what to do, raise your hand. Did you let them know? No, I tell young parents all the time, number one rule, never, ever let your kids think you don't know what to do, even when you do. I'm not saying lie to them. I'm not saying, I know exactly what to do. Go to your room. Just tell them to go to their room. I'm not done with you. And then they go to the room and you call an older friend and you go, I don't know what to do. What are we going to do about this thing? The questions that you have to ask sometimes are, what do I not yet know? What do I need to learn? Sometimes the question you have to ask yourself is, what have I forgotten? What did I used to do or know that I've stopped doing or knowing that would really help in this circumstance, but I've kind of gotten in a bad habit of something else? And then, of course, finally, there is, what do I need to unlearn? What do I think I know that isn't right? What attitude, what concept have I embraced and held on to now that I think it's time for it to go? Do I have some old thoughts that really stink and that's starting to corrupt the way I think about other things? Is there anything I'm thinking that causes me to be prejudicial against people based on things they can't control, like their race or their age or their background? Am I holding on to thoughts that are inappropriate because I've gotten so used to thinking them? Am I adhering to a model that stopped working 10 years ago and I'm still thinking it's going to pick back up? It's like men get to a certain age and all of their fashion sensibility completely leaves the building. And it used to be pretty consistent. You could tell a guy stops thinking about what he wears at about 29. And so a man who is 65 is usually wearing the exact same kind of clothes he was wearing when he was 29. And sometimes it looks ridiculous, especially if it was a leisure suit from the 70s. But you have to ask questions of yourself, but you also have to ask questions of other people, okay? Second thing you can do is keep some high standards. There are old folks that are amazing. There was an old lady, and I say that with affection. That's not a denigration for me. I don't have any bad thoughts when I say old lady. I don't think that is bad at all. If you do, I'll try to find something else if you find that objectionable. But there was an older lady that we worshiped with in Harrodsburg, Kentucky. Her name was Ola. The first time I met her, I think she was, I'm guessing it's somewhere between 77 and 145. I mean, she was one of those mysteriously older ladies. I don't have any idea exactly how old she was, but she had on 3-inch heels at every service, and she was put together. Her hair, never hair out of place. She was dressed to the nines. They weren't rich people, but she had nice things, and she wore them well. She took care of herself. She ate what was right. And I'll never forget, she was the oldest lady I've ever seen wearing these massive heels. And she wasn't like... She was elegant. She walked in them, and she just kind of... She had this real air about her. It was spectacular. She refused to give in to the idea that just because she was old, she couldn't be beautiful. Just because she was old didn't mean she couldn't be graceful. Just because she old didn't mean she couldn't wear heels. Now, let me tell you something. You got heel spurs or arthritis in your ankles or what? Listen, go to flats. Don't be embarrassed by any of that. I get that. But I'm saying the standards must remain high. Do the best you can with what you've got. Keep that attitude. I'm going to make the most of this, whatever this is. Look, I got out of the shower. I got dressed this morning. I'm going to tell you something. This isn't spectacular. Nobody's amazed by what this looks like. This is as good as I could do. I took a little time to work on it because, you know, it takes time. But you've seen old folks, and I have, they give up. Their hygiene standards go down. Their concept of what, and I'll tell you where this comes from. It's the old pictures and the memory from the mirror where you look at yourself and say, I'll never be that good again. And so you say, and let me tell you, that's a long time to live with that idea if you peaked at 18. If you feel like your looks peaked at 18 and that's what you're going for, embrace the age that you are at and be beautiful and handsome and solid for that age. Refuse to give in to the idea that you must just adopt whatever culture has thrown on you as what it means to be. Keep your standards high. I may not be able to do what I used to do. I may not look like I used to look, but this is as good as I'm going to get today, and that's what I'm going to see to. I'm going to take care of that and keep that where that is. Let me just tell you something. Young people know that 100%. Young girls, they know exactly how to accentuate the positives. They know how to take your attention and put it on the thing that they want you to see and not the thing that they're not that interested in you seeing. They know how to do that. They work on that. That's really what makeup is all about, frankly. Thirdly, be people-centric. Have you ever noticed how sociable young people are? It's getting a little less so because of social media, ironically. Something with the word social in it, you'd think that would actually increase that. And it's actually driving more kids back home into little covens and dens and caves where they don't actually interact with people, that they virtually interact with people. But when you get a bunch of young people together, let's just imagine we're going to have a party. And we're going to invite a bunch of people who are under the age of 25. They will not line up all along the walls and sit quietly, staring off in the distance. They will socialize. They will get with each other. They'll ask questions. They'll at least group up in small little covens with each other and make fun of the other people in the room. They'll at least do that. But you can get a group of old people together, and they'll sit like they're waiting for the DMV to call their name to come get their license renewed. And young people, when they sit down, They sit in a way that they realize this is me waiting for something. Old people frequently sit like this. It's because you're exhausted from what life has thrown at you. I'm not criticizing or judging anybody. I'm just saying, if your life has been such that it's been hard, what you know more than anything else is the thing that's made your life harder than anything has been people. People have been the consistent problem. And so you can react in one of two ways to that. You can say, people are also always the solution to the problems. Or you can just shut yourself off to the rest of the world and say, I'm done with people. When my son was born, we were in the hospital, and I had a very emotional reaction to a siren. I'm holding him by the window, and I hear a siren, and it hits me like a ton of bricks. That siren always means somebody's in trouble. I've just brought a person to this planet where there's constantly trouble and pain and suffering, and the chances that he's going to experience some of that is really good. And I told one of my friends, you know, with some tears welling up in my eyes, that I'd come to this conclusion. And my friend said, hey, dummy, that siren also means that there's always help on the way. Now, which are you going to do? Which are you going to see? People-centric. Don't assume that people are just going to always be bad and going to rip you off and they're going to be terrible and they're the worst and it's just all day long it's just a people bashing fest. People are, for the most part, globally really good. Amen. Most people realize they have to share this planet with 7 billion other people, and they tend to. You know, we talked about social media. Do you know what percentage of social media on Twitter is created versus consumed? It's like 12% of the people create the content that everybody reads. Do you know what that means? There are a lot of folks giving an awful lot of power to those folks. The last thing is, you gotta live for today. The book of Ecclesiastes tells us, do not inquire about those days past as if they were the great thing, because you're not right about that. Every phase of life and every era of history has brought good things and bad things. What is it that you're thinking about? What is it that you're concentrating on? Are you thinking about what could have been, what should have been, what has been? Always past tense. Always past tense. I used to be. Things were. Or are you thinking about what it is that you're here for? So let me get to the chase on this. The reason you're still here, the reason God hasn't taken you away, if you're an older person, is because you have something to offer today. Sure, young people are innovating, and young people are inventing, and young people are coming up with the new way of dealing with things and the new future that everybody's going to live in, but you are here to contribute your wisdom. Let them teach you some new stuff. But while you're at it, you spit a little wisdom in their direction. You make sure that they hear what it is you've got to say, your perspective on that. Ask them what they think, and tell them what you think, and ask them what they think about what you think. And interact and feel like there's a community sort of thing going on there, because you do share. You share that day. You're sharing that moment. Well, very quickly, focus on what you can. Don't focus on what you can't. If you spend the rest of your life marking the dates, marking the time by things that have happened to you instead of things that you've done, you're going to be an old person. Choose to make things happen, whatever they are, small things. I'm not saying go out and change the world. I'm saying go out and do something with the life that you've got. Something small is fine, but something you're doing instead of waiting for life to happen to you. And today is a good place to start, because we did not come here to have worship happen to us. We came here to do the worshiping. Does everybody get the difference there? And when we engage it like that, that's a positive direction, and that's the way things go. So yes, there are challenges. There's challenges being old. There's challenges being young. You can either be the person who sees the Egyptians and the oppression, or the person who thinks about freedom. You can either be the person who complains about the rain or the person who builds the ark. You have to decide what that's going to be for you. And I'm telling you, you need to refuse to get old. Let your inner man be renewed day by day. And I'll tell you what you'll find is that that attracts similarly minded people. And together, you can do an awful lot for the Lord. Thanks so much.